The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Thanks for tuning in to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford. I'm Elizabeth Larkin, Managing Editor of Small Biz Ahead, and I want to welcome you to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, where we take a deeper look at the challenges facing small business owners. We also try to make you laugh along the way. With me today, as always, is Small Biz Ahead expert and small business owner, Jean Marks. Jean, how are you doing this morning?
I am fine, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm great. Now, I know you flew up here.
Yes.
Do you have any...
By the way, on a plane that's like, I think the Wright brothers flew it last time. So you take a flight from Philadelphia to Hartford and it's a...
How long is that flight?
It's like 45 minutes, but it's like a turboprop little plane. You get in there, it's like two guys. Or I think Snoopy was flying it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that old of a plane, but it got me here. I've been on it a bunch of times.
Now, I'm sure we're going to dedicate a whole episode to business travel at some point, but
yeah.
Do you have any tips for business travel? Because I know you travel a lot.
I've got one good tip for you. Is when you go to like make coffee at a Starbucks or if you're at the lounge and you know those little Mighty Moo little creamer things that you have, make sure to open them facing away from your mentor. Okay, because what they do is they carbonate those things, and if they're pointing in the wrong direction, face and your suit will get all milk all over it. So that's my travel tip for the day,
okay,
Elizabeth.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be something about like checking your laptop, but no, it's about creamer.
That's a good one. One final tip related to the creamer is no matter where you're going, particularly if you're a guy, because we guys tend to minimize on the clothes. Buy a shirt, a dress shirt, a travel shirt, keep it in its original wrapping and take it everywhere with you.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I always keep up a backup shirt with me because I'm a slob and you never know when somebody's going to spill something on you or whatever. And I was on a flight just last week to Dallas and sitting next to me was a mom and her 11-month-old who was all over the place. That was the mom, by the way. The 11-month-old was even worse. And I was like, I am definitely going to be using that backup shirt after this flight. I can see it now. Luckily, I didn't, but anyway.
Oh, traveling with kids. It's
rough. Yeah, she was great.
So we went out and asked the Small Biz Ahead community to submit some questions for us to answer. We're always trying to stump Jean. So if you would like to submit a question, you can do so by tagging us on Twitter. It's Small Biz Ahead. And use the hashtag Small Biz Ahead Podcast. But today we have two questions, one about the dreaded word networking and another about payroll problems, because a lot of small business owners are not accountants and they have to pay a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So the first question from Linda in Florida, same name as my mom. Hello, Linda. Linda writes, I just launched a business in retirement and I need to drum up some clientele. I have some contacts from my time in the industry, but I know I need more to be successful. This leads me to the dreaded word, networking. I hate networking, and I'm terrible at it. How important is this for my business, and can I just do some marketing instead? Oh my gosh, Jean, networking. Everyone is bad at networking. Does anyone think they're good at networking?
No, I mean, look, Linda, I mean, you're in Florida, so it's sunny, and I don't know where she is in Florida. My mom, she goes to Florida every year to Sarasota, Florida, so Linda, maybe you even know her. Her name is Elaine. She's the one with the walker walking around, like, in the middle of the day, and all that, she hurt her foot. But Linda, so look, I mean, you know, there's a big community around you, and of course, it depends on what kind of business you're doing. Some businesses are great for networking. Other businesses, not so great for networking. It really kind of depends on what business that you're in, what kind of networking you want to do. For example, like, you know, if you're setting up like an online store, for example, and you're just, you know, maybe Linda's doing that. She's got like an e-commerce store and she's selling something off it. There's really no need to do
networking. Just marketing.
Yeah, that's just straight marketing, man, right? I mean, you're going to spend your money on search engine optimization and getting found online. It's a whole other conversation to have, but I don't think there's any really networking involved there.
Yeah.
Now, if Linda is starting up a business where she's like an accountant, you know?
Yeah, because she said clientele,
yeah.
I'm thinking that she's a professional services.
That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. So if it's professional services, what she has to do is she does have to get out there and introduce herself to the world. People are not going to find. Sorry, Linda, but you're going to have to leave your nice house. You have
sad
to turn
face.
Off the TV. That's exactly right. Turn off the view. These girls, these women don't know what they're talking about anyway. They're just yelling at each other. Get outside. You're in Florida, for God's sake. It's sunny outside. And you will have to network. The question is, where do you go to network? You know, how do you meet people? How do you develop your clientele? So there's a few, again, I get back to the business that you're in. But what you want to do is you want to look for people that are already involved in the industry, sort of complementary businesses, and find out where they go for their networking.
Yep.
So we talk about clientele. If Linda's doing something with furniture, design, construction, you know, I don't know, something related to the home. Maybe she's opening up a plumbing business for all I know, you know, whatever. Then there's a whole community of people that are service the home industry, everybody from realtors to real estate attorneys to where do they go for their
interior
networking?
Designers.
Interior designers, right? I mean, what kind of local, you know, networking groups are related to there? One great place that I always to get started with networking, which I think is great in the local area. I'm a huge fan of meetups.org.
It's so funny. Meetup is like so not cool, but it's so useful.
Why do you say it's not cool?
I don't know. I feel like it's just one of those tech companies that kind of hasn't kept up with the times. It's kind of old-fashioned, but...
Meetup is old-fashioned? Really? Because,
yeah,
I mean, they're pretty new, aren't they? I mean, they've been around. I mean, they've been around less than a decade.
Yeah, but they're, you know, when you think about, like, Facebook or Reddit, like, they're always changing
right.
and coming up with new strategies. Meetup is just, like, we're here so you can start a group or find a group that you're interested in, and that's it. And I'm in a bunch of meetup groups. I've never attended any of the meetings, but
right.
it's such a great idea. But I know a lot of people who have, like, maybe moved to a new city or
yep.
something, or they've taken up a new hobby, and they've found people through Meetup.
Yeah, it's just meetup.org or meetup.com. I think it gets you to the same place
yeah.
either way.
Just Google Meetup.
Yeah, you're starting a business, or like you just said, Elizabeth, you moved to a new city. But say you're starting a business, you're Linda, you know, in Florida, wherever in
yeah.
Florida she's from. You know, you can do a search for certain keywords related to your business or interest in that local area, and trust me, Linda, there will be dozens, if not more, of groups that are meeting within an hour or two drive of where you are in your business, and that's the first step to like getting out the door and attending some of those. Locally, of course, there's Chamber of Commerce in your city. I mean, every
old school,
but Chamber of Commerce they're popular still because people like to get up and meet face to face, and that's also a good thing. And then, of course, there's industry groups that you go to meet. So again, depending on the industry that you're in or what you're doing, if you're in the interior design industry or if you're in the plumbing industry, all those industries, if you Google them, they have, you know, they're associations and organizations related to that industry. A lot of them are national, of course, and also regional as well. So you can join and go to a regional group and meet people in the like fields. And that's how people get referrals that way. This is all, you know, that's all part of the networking that you have to do.
And Gene, you're a very outgoing person and you still don't like networking.
Hate it. And you know, right now I feel like I'm outgoing now because this is fun to talk. I love talking mm-hmm. about this stuff, and you're awesome anyway. And listen, it's just you and me talking, you know, on our podcast, and that's cool and all that. But you know, I spend a lot of time on my own, you know, when I travel, and I'm like, you know, binge watching The Walking Dead, or, you know, I'm a big
yep.
TV guy. I read a lot. I'm more of an introvert, believe it
yeah.
or not, than an extrovert. I think a lot of people are like that with their own business. If they wanna, they can turn themselves on and
yeah.
be social and do the thing. But then if they're not working, you know, there are other people that just want people all around them. So for those people, I find it very hard to network.
Yes.
I find it really hard. When you walk into a room and don't know anybody, it's a very, very difficult thing to do.
One thing to remember, though, and I want to get back to one of the more specific things in Linda's question, but
mm-hmm.
one thing to remember about walking into a room where you don't know anyone
yeah.
is that everyone else feels the same way.
Yeah.
Everyone is like dying for someone to just strike up a conversation with them.
I thought you were going to say to just picture them all in their underwear,
yeah.
but I guess that's just okay. So I shouldn't
also
have gone that
old
way.
School.
Yeah.
But you know, you think about walking into a room, you've got your stack of business cards, you've got your name tag, you've got a glass of wine or
yeah.
tea or whatever you
yeah.
drink. And then you stand there like a wallflower. I mean, everyone else feels the same way.
Yep.
And people really respond to confidence. So maybe just challenge yourself to go to something and strike up like two conversations with people you've never met at one of those like awkward networking things.
You hit it right on the head. When I go to networking events, I mean, I'm terrible at them. I hate going, but I have learned, I've improved. I mean, I've learned a few tricks there. And one of them for sure is what you just said, Elizabeth. Like, I set my bar very low. I'm like, if I can walk out of here and I've met two people at this event all morning, you know, then I'm happy. I don't have to be like Mr. Lampshade on my head and handing out business cards and the life of the party, whatever. It's not me. So just let me, you know, if I can walk away with just, let me just focus on two people. And by the way, these two people might not have anything to do with my business. They might just, if I can meet two nice people, right? Even if it's the people cleaning up the coffee cups when we're like, we're done, that's my goal. And then the second is, which I've gotten better, much better at, is no roving eye. No, enough of it drives me nuts when you go to a networking event and you're talking to somebody and then they're like looking around the room.
Oh, it's so rude.
And other people and whatever. They're like distracted. And you're like, what? Am I not, you're not interested in this? Is it that obvious that you're not, you know, and like you're looking for something? You know, enough of the roving eye. Like when you finally do fix on somebody to talk to them and hang out with them and that's it. You know what I mean? And so the third thing I've learned on networking, by the way, is I try to avoid talking about work. You think you're there in a professional environment, but no, you're there at a networking event to make a connection with somebody to try and have, and honestly, work like bores me. I mean, no offense, but like everybody's job is boring.
You know what I mean? So boring.
Yeah, it's like, oh, really? You work at this company and that's, oh, you're in charge of, you know, it's your staff accountant or your claims administrator. Who cares? I'm more interested in, I don't know, where have you been on vacation lately? You know,
that is a great, I was just going to say that. That is a great way to break the ice.
Yeah.
Someone, where have you been on vacation lately? Where is your next vacation
going to be? Yeah.
Because then you're not, it's not too personal. People love to talk about it.
Sharing ideas. Whenever people go on vacation, they love to share, like, oh, you try this hotel, or you just do it, which is what, you know, and again, you work it in, like, any good movies that they've seen or any good TV that they've seen. People love talking about their kids if you've got kids of a similar age. That's also for sports, you know what I mean? A lot of people like to talk about, I don't know, I'd rather have, like, if I meet a good person, we have a good conversation and business never gets brought up, you know, then that's a good thing. And I've actually met more, like, had better relationships with people from a professional side when it just starts out more personal first.
Definitely. So how do you feel about, because I've never done this before, but let's say I go up to you at a networking event and I say, like, networking events are terrible.
Yeah.
Like, is that a good way to start? I think that is a good way to start a conversation, because you're being a little vulnerable.
Yeah.
You're connecting with them.
Yeah.
Because everyone's uncomfortable.
Everybody's uncomfortable. And people, I think people really rebel from people that are not real.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, not to get to, like, this whole thing with the elections this year. I mean, I think there's a lot of voters that are out there that just, they hate the establishment as it is. And they just hate, you know, people like when you come up and talk to somebody and say, like, ugh, I can't believe I'm here. This really do this. Do you go to these things? You know what I mean? Like, it just shows, like, hey, I'm an idiot like everybody else.
Yep.
None of us know what we're talking about. So let's get rid of all that facade and just chill out together. And that usually works.
So I want to get back to something that Linda said in the question. It sounds like, because she says, I have some contacts from my time in the industry, but I know I need more to be successful. So, okay, she worked in this industry for a long time. Mm. She retired. Now she decided, you know, retirement isn't for me. I want to do something. What is the best way to get back in touch with those people? I mean, obviously it's better to have never lost touch with them.
Sure.
But if you've worked for that long and you retire, you might just be like, hey, I want to take 2 months off and, like, just read books every day.
I mean, think about it, Elizabeth. Somebody you know, and then they disappear from the face of the earth for 10 years.
Yeah.
They just retire, whatever. And then they email you or they call you out of the blue or they send you a message on LinkedIn or something. And they're like, hey, you know what? I retired. I really do want to kind of get back into it. You know what I mean? Do you feel like catching up? You know, maybe whatever. How would you react? You'd be like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's good to hear.
Yeah,
so I don't think people would have a problem with that. In fact, they'd be pretty jealous. You know, like, oh my God, you retired for 10 years? How can I do that?
And you're choosing to do this?
Yeah, what are you, crazy? So, I think reintroducing yourself to people, I think is right. I also think that as long as it's not a competitive thing, I think people generally like to help. You know what I mean?
People love to help because there's so little you can do for other people that if you can connect someone with someone. Yep. I just did this week. My dog walker wanted to get, I think, a brochure done or something. And I have a friend who's out of work right now. So I hooked them up because my friend does design on the side.
Right.
And, you know, it was kind of a pain. I had to, like, get two people's schedules together and schedule. But I was so happy to help them.
I know.
Two people that needed each
other. Yeah, it's funny.
So.
It's you know, like, Elizabeth, like, we really don't. It's not like we all have, like, the money in the world to give. We're not Bill Gates. We can give money to, like, charities or start foundations.
We have our time and our effort.
We have our time and our effort. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, by the way, in our community and the people that we know. So asking for people for help. I mean, okay, look, some people aren't going to help you for whatever their reasons are.
Yeah.
But some people will. We also talk about getting back into it. And I briefly mentioned LinkedIn. I mean, I think LinkedIn is awesome, right? For those of you listening, I wrote on entrepreneur.com the 12 types of people you hate on LinkedIn. So feel free to go and read that article as well. You'll probably recognize a few. But for Linda to get on LinkedIn and to reach out and make connections with different people, huge way to see then who they're connected to in their community. Ask for permission to, you know, reach out to those people as well. Oh, I see, you know, this guy or that person or whatever. Would it be okay if I reached out to them too? Or could I ask for an introduction? I think LinkedIn is a wonderful, wonderful service to help you do that.
Yeah, it's great. And also, that's another place to find those groups, like those industry groups.
You're right. You're right.
Which a lot of those industry groups, it's just people like, here's an article I wrote.
I know.
But some of them, I'm in a bunch, and some of them really are helpful.
They are.
Like people will put an idea out and people will come back with their responses to it. I'm also in a bunch of places I used to work for that have closed down.
Okay.
I worked
immediately after you left.
Yeah.
They just shut their doors.
I started working at an investment bank right before the recession. Mm. It's still in business, but in the early 2000s, I worked for a lot of internet startups. So we started a bunch of LinkedIn groups just for networking, saying,
are they still there, those groups?
Yeah,
that's
funny. And people still communicate. So think about getting back into those because it's amazing. Some of my former coworkers have gone on to open their own businesses, and the rest of us in the group have been there to kind of spread the word and all of that. And like we were talking about in another podcast, referrals.
Yeah.
Like that's really why you're networking for a professional services
right.
group. You're looking for referrals.
Right.
So you don't necessarily have to be talking to people in your industry. It can just be networking with other business owners.
Right. And by the way, on that aspect as well, asking for referrals is a little trite. Like, hey, do you have any business for me or anybody?
Yep.
And, you know, and even saying like, hey, if you know of anybody around, by all means, let me know I'm available. I mean, that's all fine and nice. It's not, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just like, oh, duh. I mean, really, you're looking for work? I mean, aren't we all, you know? So, I mean, I don't think you really need to have to go out and say that. I hate it when I go to like a networking event or talk to somebody and they'll be like, now, Gene, what can I do for you? How can I help you in your business?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it kind of just kind of puts me on the spot. Like, you know, the answer is always the same. Give me business.
Yeah. Like, send me clients.
Yeah. Send me leads. That's what you can do for me. Like, why do you even have to ask? Like, we're all, every business owner I know is looking for leads. There's never enough work for businesses. They're looking, they're always looking for leads. So rather than like saying to somebody you've met, like, what can I do for you? Do something for them.
Yeah.
You know, and just saying like, you know, that was a great conversation. I have a client or a potential prospect for you. Even they might not even be interested or not, but they might be interested in you. How about if I'll make the introduction and see if you're somewhere, maybe it'll help you, maybe it won't. Something like that. If you do something for somebody, most people will feel compelled to then come back and do stuff for you.
So, absolutely.
And there are so many empty promises that people make. So instead of like the empty promise, just step up and deliver something for somebody and then say, all right, dude, your turn now. You know what I mean? If you want to give something back to me or not. And you'll see your true friends and partners over time will rise to the top, the people that reciprocate.
Absolutely. Okay, so Linda, good luck
with
networking. Get out there and think of us when you're walking into the room and you're trying to be a wallflower.
And Linda, look, even if you strike out at some networking event, you're in Florida, for God's sake, right? It's beautiful outside. Enjoy the sunshine. Life is short. It's great. If you see my mom, again, it's Elaine. She's in a walker, okay? Just look for her.
Sarasota.
Very nice person, okay? She likes coffee.
Great. So we're going to have another question up next after a quick word from our sponsor.
The Small Biz Ahead podcast is brought to you by the Business Owner's Playbook. Whether you're a seasoned small business owner or just starting out, the Business Owner's Playbook is your go-to destination for how to run your business. From business plan templates to advice on managing employees, the Business Owner's Playbook features up-to-date, sound advice on running your business.
Okay, we're back with question number two. This is Anne, who owns a candy-making business in Wisconsin.
Really? They make candy in Wisconsin?
Candy and not cheese.
And not cheese.
So Anne asks...
It's cheese-filled bonbons. And you imagine cheese chewing gum.
I need it. Anne has five employees. This is what she says.
Okay.
I have five employees, and I'm terrible at managing payroll.
Mm.
I am not an accountant.
Mm.
Do you have any easy tools I can use, preferably free or almost free? So, Anne, this is something, if I were in your shoes, I would definitely have to outsource this to someone else. I would either have to find a whole online solution for this that I could use, or I would have to outsource it to someone. I was just talking to a friend who works for a small business. Her boss, I guess, messed up estimating the taxes or something. She ended up having to pay $900. He had to reimburse her for that just because he made a mistake up front.
Yeah.
And guess what? This business has two employees. It's just him and her.
It's nuts, isn't it? First of all, and you're insane. You're doing your payroll yourself. This is, don't do that. Your payroll, first of all, is its own expertise. The world is specializing. Yeah, I don't know. She makes candy. So like every minute that you're spending futzing with payroll is taking you away from coming up with the next. I'm thinking like mozzarella milky balls. How does that sound? Does that sound delicious, right?
Wisconsin's own.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Or Parmesan peanut butter chips, you know?
Cheese curd caramel.
That would be delicious. So, you know, look at us. We're not doing payroll. We're coming up ideas for you, Anne. You know, think about all the ideas you could be coming up with, how you could be selling and marketing your business if you were not doing payroll, for God's sake. Like, don't do it. Have we made ourselves clear, Elizabeth?
Yeah,
are we telling her, like, stop doing this?
Don't do it.
And by the way, I'm a CPA, right? And I have a 10-person company. We use paychecks. I mean,
and
we
you
just
don't even do your taxes, Gene.
No, I don't even do my own taxes because, God forbid. But we outsource that. And like you had said, with somebody making a mistake, and you get one thing wrong on a payroll tax return, you flip a number somewhere, or you put the wrong date down or something. Trust me, you will be buried in notices from the IRS. You will be in a retirement home 50 years from now in diapers. You'll still be getting notices from the IRS because of some mistake that you made back in 2016.
This is an area that is worth it to outsource to a professional.
100%.
It really, really is. So, Gene, what's a good amount of, I don't want to pin you down on the amount of money she should be spending on this, but what's a range that she could expect to pay to have a professional do this? Or is there a solution like Zenefits?
There is. So let me give you some of the options that you have. Option number one is the most expensive option is you go to a payroll service firm. A Paychecks, an ADP, a Sure Payroll Service as well. Those are like a few of the big ones that are out there. So what did Anne say? She has about five employees. Yeah, you know. So, you know, Anne, it's probably going to cost you a couple $100 a month for them to do a payroll. I mean, somewhere between $300 to $500 a month for the payroll service. But I'm telling you, I know you're like, oh my God, that could be, you know, $6,000 a year or $5,000 a year for payroll or something. But they'll do their quarterly returns for you. You get any notice from the IRS, you just send it over to them. They deal with it. That's what they do. We use Paychecks. Paychecks is great, but ADP, Sure Payroll, lots of clients that use those services. They're fine. They're fine. I mean, they're very, very good. So that's the most expensive option, okay? The next expansion option is that you have somebody do it for you, right? So what would it cost to have like a bookkeeper just do your payroll for you? You would look to spend somewhere around $25 an hour for somebody to do your payroll for you. That's generally what, now it's average, depends on where you are in the country. I mean, if you're in San Francisco, it's probably $187 an hour. And then if you're in like Oklahoma, it's $4 an hour. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I'd say the average is about $25 an hour. But it's like, for, because it's a bookkeeping job. You don't need a CPA to do this. It's,
how do you find a bookkeeper?
There's lots of places. I mean, first of all, you can look on sites like Upwork, for example, is great.
Upwork.com, yep.
Upwork.com is great. Guru is great. A great place to find a bookkeeper. They're technical people. Craigslist, you could find a bookkeeper who's also a homicidal maniac, if that's what you prefer. You could put out, the feelers on Facebook, LinkedIn. I mean, if you do a search on LinkedIn for bookkeepers in your area, LinkedIn is nothing but a big database of resumes. And then you just reach out to them.
That's a perfect place to look. Yeah. You could probably just Google bookkeepers
in Hartford, Connecticut, or she's in Wisconsin, right? Bookkeepers that like cheese in Wisconsin.
What about a large company? I don't know if this even exists, but a company that just has bookkeepers you can hire.
Believe it or not, there are. There is, God, I forget the name of the one that's, they're not national, so it's irrelevant, but in Philadelphia, there's a service called Bookkeepers Inc. or something like that, and they're just a firm of bookkeepers, you know, and that's what they do. You're going to pay maybe a little bit more than $25 an hour, but, you know, it's not that much more. Mm-hmm. Not that much more. Temp services offer this as well. So if you've got local temporary services, that staffing services, they offer out bookkeepers as well that'll just come in and do your thing. And again, they're at the range of about $25 an hour. So, and then to do a payroll, say you do a weekly payroll and it's, you know, for 5 employees, that should really take a bookkeeper no more than 2 hours each time.
So you're looking about $50 a week.
Yeah. So there you're at like a couple hundred bucks a month, you know what I mean? Type of thing. And then, you know, that's really what it should have cost you. And then you got to spend another few hours at the end of each quarter doing the quarterly returns. Do you know what I mean?
So would an ADP or a paychecks do anything for you that, bookkeeper wouldn't?
No, ADP and paychecks will try to sell you lots of their services in addition to what they're providing, which I don't, by the way, I don't want to fault them for it because a lot of their services are fine. Yeah. They're a business in America. They can make money.
So what do they do? So they like maybe administer your workers' comp or something?
Yeah. I mean, if you have that, I mean, they will set you up in their system. You can actually, you're actually input a lot of the, do a lot of the data entry, but you're just inputting hours into their system. And then you're assigned a customer service rep that's, you're in charge, you know, that's in charge of you. And depending on their turnover, you know, you get different reps, you know, whatever. But it's all part of their system. So it takes care of all the deductions, all the, they make the direct deposit. And all they do is they just send you either electronically or on paper your payroll register every week that you then file away. They just do it all for you. They then automatically do the quarterly tax returns. They have your electronic signature as well. They file it for you. So it's a huge headache that they just take away. So, you know, it's good. Now, a bookkeeper, just to let you know, if you hire somebody independently, you'll have more of a relationship with that person. That person might come on site to your place. There might be, depending on if you like him or her, there might be other stuff they can be doing for you.
Help with taxes.
Bank recs, you know what I mean? Cleaning up, maybe do a little invoicing for you. Get behind and stir up some of that peanut butter and fudge together and, you know, if they got some spare time. So that's good. Then we talk about technology. There are some really great technology out there. One that I love is a service called Gusto, right? They are a payroll. They do beautiful payroll. They used to be called Zen Payroll, which I really liked, but they changed their name to Gusto. And great payroll. Basically, they have a service that they provide a similar type of service to an ADP or a paychecks, but you are doing more of the work. You own the software. It's yours. And you're paying the fee. I forget what they charge, but they're less expensive than they're less expensive than an ADP or a paychecks. So very, very nice service. Nice customer. You mentioned Zenefits. It's also great. They offer it, a payroll service, for free. Zenefits, believe it or not. Zenefits, and by the way, Zenefits of late has been going through some management issues and employees.
Yeah, are they going to survive that?
Yeah, I mean, I think their service is that good, they are that well funded, and their business model is so good. What they do is they offer a lot of free HR services, technologies for.
Which is great for a small business.
Yeah, it's not only payroll, but it's also, it'll track your vacation and onboarding and offboarding and new employees and terminations and all that. But they make their money because they want to sell you insurance, healthcare insurance.
Okay.
So they'll offer stuff for free, which is completely cool, but then they're going to offer you like health insurance as well. And that's how they make their money.
All right, so what would you recommend then for the candy maker?
So the candy maker, Ann in Wisconsin, right? And what I would recommend is outsourcing the entire thing to an ADP or a Paychex. Done.
Okay.
Done. I think you just get off your back.
Yeah, and $250 a month, I mean, think about that. I think that's what you estimated, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
$200 a month, yeah.
That's, get rid of your tension headaches, like, freeze up time. I can't imagine, I was a political philosophy major, like, I can't imagine.
Really? And you have a job?
That's impressive. That's what my dad says.
Yeah. What was your job after college, after a political philosophy major? Who hired you?
What did I do?
I know Donald Trump didn't hire you. Who did?
I worked for a website called 6degrees.com, which was like the original Facebook.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And then I worked for about.com, which is still in business. And then cool. I went into politics. So it worked out.
Very cool. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I just can't imagine. I mean, just life is too short and you want to be focusing on the candy making. So you got to get rid of that payroll. I think it's great. I think a lot of people think I'm a small business owner. I can't outsource stuff. I have to do everything myself.
Right.
That's not the case.
Right.
Like you really don't, to run a successful business, you've got to surround yourself with people who know what they're doing and you've got to outsource a few things.
Agreed.
All right, we're going to hear from our sponsor one more time, and then I'm going to have a bonus question about networking for Gene.
Cool.
Are you looking to expand and grow your small business but don't have time to keep up with the latest trends in technology? We've got you covered with the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. Sign up today and start receiving our weekly email chock full of the latest tools and resources to help you run a successful business. Find us at smallbizahead.com.
Okay, we're back with our bonus question for Gene. And this is actually, you recently wrote an article for us about this, so I think you know
a lot
about
it. So I should be able to answer this question. Bring it on.
Exactly. This is the question. This has been in the news a lot lately, and I follow a bunch of people on Twitter who hate it when people ask to pick their brain, because I follow a lot of people who are freelancers, they're sole proprietors in business for themselves. They're either business consultants or their writers, and people are constantly trying to network with them by saying, can I buy you coffee? Can I pick your brain?
Yeah.
And they hate it. They think, should I be charging for this? Like, my time is money. You know, I bill myself out at $100 an hour and this person wants to just buy me coffee.
Right.
And I thought, you know what? That's a good argument. I don't know. Like, is that worth your time or is it not? And you had a pretty distinct opinion on this.
I did. That was a piece I wrote for entrepreneur.com a couple months ago. And it got a lot of...
No, you wrote it for us.
I wrote it for you guys, but then I wrote another one. The piece that I wrote was why I don't want to have coffee with you. Okay? picking your brain is also related to this. But because you mentioned, Elizabeth, about having coffee. And there is... putting that aside, when people, and that's another conversation, when people want to have coffee with you, do you want to do it? Particularly if they're just going to pick your brain.
Yeah.
You got to like leave work and leave your job and have coffee with a complete stranger so they can pick your brain. I mean,
yeah.
I can think of like no worse use of your time.
Yeah. How about just a phone call?
Yeah. A phone call is, you know, I mean, you know, it kind of all gets to this. I don't, you know, listen, people, you got to give stuff away for free. If you are, if you're a writer, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a service provider, if you're whatever, you're selling yourself. People need to have a relationship with you, and there is a time that people need to spend with you that will that could evolve into profitable work. But they got to get to know you, and like you, and work with you. You have to prove how smart you are. When we go to, we oftentimes go to clients that are a mess with a software product that we sell. We wouldn't have sold it to them. And I'll say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to send Carrie out and let her spend a couple days and she'll fix up what she's got to do. Here's a list of things we'll do. We're not going to charge you for it. Let her just go out and do it.
Yeah.
So that you can see that we know what we're doing. Maybe you hate us. Maybe you hate Carrie. Maybe you really like us. And then if you're happy and we get you right.
Everyone loves Carrie.
Yeah, everybody loves. She's awesome. But you know, you just, that's the only way that you really learn if you're going to get along and whatever. So when somebody says, I want to pick your brain or I want, you know, information from you, I don't think you have to necessarily turn it off. But there's no reason, there's nothing wrong with you being selfish and saying to yourself, well, what the heck is in it for me? You know, what is in it for me? And you're going to have to make this choice. And there's no scientific answer to this. It's a gut feel. If somebody says, I'd like to take you out to coffee and pick your brain, if that person is the CEO of the Hartford, for example, you're probably going to be like,
Swift. I'm like, I guess
I'll have some coffee with Chris. I mean, I think there's something, might be something in it for me to do that, or it could be somebody else that will provide you some value. You're just selfishly thinking, all right, this person's worth it. If it's somebody you find out a little bit about them, if it's, if it's just somebody that you're just like, this is going to go nowhere. You know what I mean? This person is just kind of glomming off me, or I don't think that this person is really going to benefit me in the future. There's nothing wrong for just saying, I'm sorry, I just don't have the time to do that. You know what I mean? Or maybe we can speak on the phone for a few minutes. And that's even that, by the way, is a nice thing to do.
And honestly, I think a lot of those people are just saying, can I buy you coffee? Because they want to show that they're willing to pay for something for you, but they would be fine just having a phone call.
Yeah.
I mean, doing things for other people, I feel like you have to do it. It's going to benefit you in the end. You have to do it on your terms.
Yeah. It depends. You don't have to do anything in this life. Your time is limited and it's valuable. You've got a perfect example is a woman. We were speaking earlier about going to Florida. I was visiting my mom in Florida with my wife, and there was a woman there that's she teaches at a community college, and she was kind of making things about maybe me sort of guest speaking at a few of her classes, and I didn't take the bait at all. I just kind of changed the topic. She didn't come straight out and ask me, but it was pretty close to it.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, oh, geez, Gene, what are you, some kind of a jerk? You should help this woman. And I'm like, there's limited time of the day.
That's a huge ask.
It is. And people sometimes make huge asks. And I'm like, well, okay. I said to my wife, I'll tell you what then. I'll leave you for a couple of days and go down and spend time with her to speak to her class. And you can stay alone back at home. How do you feel now? And she's like, oh, you're right. Don't do that. You know what I mean? So it's a personal decision that you have to make. Some people, when I always answer calls about picking brains? Well, not all. Actually, that's another I don't always, but mostly always, is college kids, students.
Yes.
Yep. I love it when kids, if kids reach out and ask, can I I need some help, or can I pick your brain? Even then, I have to admit, sometimes, if it's a kid, I had a kid email me a couple weeks ago who was a friend with my kid played soccer with the kid. So I knew him when he was 12.
Yeah.
And now the kid's graduating college and needed some career advice. I'm like, absolutely happy.
That's just good karma.
It is good karma. And then same thing, sometimes a friend, a colleague or a friend's kids want some help, of course. But then sometimes some completely random kid will reach out to me for some help or for some advice or whatever. And I have to tell you, sometimes I am kind of a jerk about it. I'm just like, I can't answer everybody. I really don't have any idea who you are, and I am busy, and this is not, I'm sorry, I don't have time to do it. Or if you want to email me some questions, maybe I'll email you some back. Yeah. I'm not saying it's easy, but there's nothing wrong with saying no.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with saying no. There's nothing wrong with being selfish and saying to yourself, what's in it for me?
Also, I hate the term pick your brain
because
I watch Game of Thrones and I just picture a severed head with a crow. I think a better way to ask is, can I get your perspective on something? Because then I feel like if someone says that to me, because I get these requests all the time too. If someone says, can I get your perspective on something? I feel like, okay, they've done some homework. They're coming to the table with something that I can react to.
Yeah.
Rather than me saying, well, here's what you should do to start a career in writing and editing, And
I also just like people that are just sort of straight out.
Hi,
Gene, you barely know me. I'm looking for a job in this industry, and I know you're in that industry.
Yeah.
Do you have 10 minutes I can talk to you and get some advice from you, or maybe even some context? Can you help me?
And if you're not the right person to talk to, can you direct me to someone?
Yeah, it's exactly right. Just don't, the pick your brain goes with all these other, business speak nonsense gibberish.
Yep.
That's just like
synergy.
Enough. Yeah, I know what you don't want to pick my brain. You're looking for work.
Yeah.
Just say it, you know, and you want some help or maybe some connections or whatever. And then, okay, fine. You know what I mean? Like, you know, then let's talk about that. But
as a business owner asking for that kind of help, I also think if you lead with, you know, if another business owner said to you, instead of saying, I want to pick your brain, they said, I run a business doing this. I think we could have a beneficial conversation. I do this. I could provide this to your client, you know, something like that, like coming from it. Always think about how you're going to appear to that person you're asking.
So that's another really, really great point they bring up, Elizabeth. So if you are, I get, you know, pitches from other business owners, you know, and they want to talk, or they want to have coffee, or they want, you know, whatever. And, you know, they want to talk about maybe some place where we can mutually benefit each other, mm-hmm. or how we can partner or whatever. So, okay, number one, I know what you're looking for, dude. You're looking for work for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're calling me is you're looking to grow your business. I'm not, I mean, really, do you have, prove to me that you care about my business. You want to prove to me you can care? Okay, if you're looking to partner and grow our businesses, why don't you actually come to the table with an actual client or a customer that you'd like to introduce me to, right?
Yeah.
Like step up and say, hey, Gene, I've got this customer here and they're looking for a CRM system.
Yeah.
I'd like to, I'm telling you, you make that introduction to me, I'm like, anytime you want to have coffee, name it. I'm not happy to talk to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just throw out like how ways we can partner with each other and whatever. It's like, you're just, you know.
Yeah, lead with what specific. You are, how are you benefiting them?
Yeah.
Like, why is this worth their time?
Yeah, yeah. Step up and give me something. And then if, you know, and again, that's not going to work out. Sometimes you may offer a lead or a customer something to somebody and they don't reciprocate it. What greater way is to know that like, well, this guy's, not somebody I want to do business or partner with in the future. He doesn't want to reciprocate my, you know, customer I offered to him.
So I want to mention a researcher. You might have heard of him, Gene. His name is Robert Cialdini, and he writes a lot. I think he's a social scientist.
Okay.
He writes about reciprocation.
Okay.
So if you go into a relationship saying, Gene, and by the way, Gene's company sells CRM systems.
Yes, I do. Customer relationship management.
Customer relationship management. Right, right. And I'm sure we'll cover that extensively in other, and everyone should
Can't
have one.
Wait. Everybody get your checkbooks out. Okay, go ahead.
If you go to Gene and say, I have a customer who's looking for a new CRM system, I want to introduce you to them. And that happens, and they make the introduction, and then a month later, they come to you, and they're like, hey, do you have any idea about, or do you know anything about, you are so much more likely to take that phone call.
Oh, my God. Now, different people are different ways. If somebody gives me a lead, like introduce me to their customer, like a bona fide, and by the way, even if the person, that customer never buys from me, or maybe, but if you thought of me to at least give me a shot at the plate, you know what I mean? I am in debt to that person. Like that person's like number one on my list. Then, I mean, that's what I do. I mean, we have about 600 clients in my business. So if an IT firm gives me a lead, not only am I keeping him abreast of the like, thank you, and oh, I met with this guy yesterday, he was great, or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I've got it in my CRM system to reciprocate that. Like,
yep.
I gotta send this guy a lead.
They're gonna
as
be
well.
Top of mind.
And yeah.
That, you know, that's the other thing about picking brains that we didn't mention. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't come. And
it is.
It's very strange.
You know, it's funny.
It's so easy to do that.
It is. The thank you is good. People, a lot of times people say to me, oh, you know, thanks for the lead. You know, what can I do to return? Yeah, I want to return the favor, whatever. Number one is, first of all, the best return of favor is just don't make me look like a dope. So if I,
exactly.
if I refer you, do a good job so that the client can come back to me and say, thanks for the referral. This guy was really awesome. You're really, you know, because then it improves my relationship with my client. That's first and foremost, you know. Other than that, you don't have to send me chocolates. You don't have to like bury me with thank yous or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, in the future, if somebody's looking for a CRM system, hopefully you'll think of me first, you know, and that's what I'm looking for.
All right, I think that's going to wrap this up. Our next episode is going to be about hiring people and managing employees, which I think should be very interesting to everyone. And we'll talk to you then. Thanks.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.